Neil, are you ready to get in bed with me?
Let's do it.
Amazing. Everyone, I have Neil Mehta, founder and CEO of Royal Intimacy, which is honestly my favorite condom brand. So welcome and thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, Alexa.
Okay.
In bed with you.
Lucky me. Okay. Neil and I have been working together for the past 2 years or so. Like, it's been a while. And I didn't know condoms, big condom companies make non-vegan condoms. Like, they have animal byproducts. So how did you find this out? And Neil's condoms are vegan, so which is why I love to work with him. So tell us.
Yeah, so thanks again for having me on. Yeah, it's kind of like a long story, but basically I had like an unfortunate condom incident with a girl I was dating. Then we were checking out to see if she was allergic or not, but that was not the case. Because latex allergies, right, common, or people think it's common, but fun fact, only about like 0.7 to 1% of the world is actually allergic to latex. So it's actually not even a latex issue most of the time. It's actually just like the product you're probably using, or you're just not knowing you're using it the right way. So we found out that it wasn't a latex allergy. Then I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I've never had this issue before.
You're like, what is it then?
Yeah, she was getting like rashing and itchy, and then started to feel sick. Also, wow. Just like physically sick, and no latex. So at the same time, I was doing my grad school, getting my master's in public health, and started doing a lot of STD and STI research with lower socioeconomic status areas around New York City, and realized that the number one thing that people don't know about is like what they're actually using when it comes to sex. And so after I started researching, like, the more nitty-gritty detail of like ingredients, like materials, like manufacturing, I started to realize that they actually add casein in it, which is an animal byproduct, which typically used in like proteins, a lot of bodybuilders use them, or even just in whey proteins, casein proteins, stuff like that.
What does that do to the condom?
So it actually dries it during the manufacturing process. So it's used for that, but then it's also used to keep the condom a little more elastic.
Stretchy, uh-huh.
So what we did is that we found a way to take it out.
Wait, and some people are allergic to casein?
You can be allergic to casein, but it's also just a naturally animal-derived protein. So
when it's unnecessary to use animal products in fucking condoms.
Exactly. And on top of that, like, there are vegans and vegetarians in the world. Like, one of the biggest countries that my father's come from, India, the biggest vegetarian population, that they didn't even know that their products had this in it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's just not common knowledge.
Like, yeah, so I just assumed like no one else would know either. Mm-hmm. So when I started to ask people like, oh, did you know this? Did you know that? They're like, I had no fucking idea. So I was like, this is a problem. Because this is also the time when the beauty brands were taking shit out of their products. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, why haven't the sexual wellness space done that with their products? So I wanted to start with condoms and then, you know, slowly go from there.
Yeah. So Neil also sells lube, body wash, body lotion, and wipes. So, your lube is my favorite lube.
Yes.
Last time I saw, well, you've had different versions, but like, it's like the smallest list of ingredients I've ever seen. And through that, I learned that, you know, glycerin is basically sugar, and vulvas specifically hate sugar because yeast infections, for example, like yeast loves sugar, so it helps yeast grow. So glycerin is not your best friend, and Neil did all the research, and like all of his products fucking use the best ingredients to help you, especially females.
Was actually my major thing, because I realized that really, really early on is that guys' physiology doesn't get affected as much as women's. And you know, I have two sisters, so growing up, I kind of knew when they were having their periods, right? I knew what type of products they were using, and I was familiar with brand names and stuff like that. So when I started to realize they were using brands that after I researched were actually kind of bad, I was like, well, let me make something better. And then they were basically my test subjects. Mm-hmm. I made the wipes, and I'm like, okay, what do you think about these? Try them out for the next 10, 15 days.
Gave
let me know
geeks.
What you think.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, being like an Indian family, like we've now become more open about that stuff. So like my sister would be like, oh yeah, I used it after my period and it was great. Mm-hmm. Or like they rarely tell me about their sexual encounters, but they told me that they would use them after certain circumstances, and it worked out perfectly for them. And they haven't had any issues, UTIs. No. Now, I can't claim that it doesn't give you UTIs, but at least in the people that have used it for a long time, our customers and also my sisters.
Right. No, it doesn't encourage UTIs, but if you still like do shitty things, or
if you
don't pee after sex, but like, yeah, I'll still get a UTI sometimes, and I use Niels products like all the fucking time. If someone grabs a little bottle and it's not royal, or I'm like, okay, let me see the ingredients, and it usually has glycerin, so I'm like, fuck off, let's either not use lube, because I usually have my lube with me, or hang on a second and let me go grab my lube, because it makes a difference. And we need to make sure that we're putting the best things in our body. Like, it's our genitals, it's so sensitive, so I like to be mindful of that.
Oh yeah, totally. And that's also why I wanted to create, so people also ask me like, why'd you come up with the name Royal? Well, one thing, my background is not in marketing and branding, so maybe it was a poor choice of words, but my initial thought was like you also want to feel empowered when you're using a product. Like, anytime, I'm very specific on stuff I use. Like, before I started this business, like, the body wash I would use was the same brand because I trusted it and I felt good using it. You know, the deodorant I used was the same way. So I was like, I wanted to create sort of a name that felt more elevated. Mm-hmm. So when you came across it or when you use it, you felt more elevated. And then obviously, Royal is better than a Trojan. So, I mean, why not?
Yeah. Also, I don't think it was that. It's a good name. It's fine. And your branding is really nice, which is why I'm trying to grab everything.
Yeah, we've definitely evolved over time.
Yeah. But even like the first samples that I had, they were nice. Like, I liked it. It looks like more elevated, you know? Like Durex, for example. Their branding's all like tacky. Messy. It looks tacky. Like, the colors are off. It's just weird. But like, this looks nice. Like, it's just very simple, very elegant. This is such an ad, but like, this is not an ad. We're just friends. And I love these products. Like, literally, they're just so good.
Yeah. And so like, the idea behind this was like, whether you're buying it online or in a store, we wanted to make it very sleek and simplistic, but with a little pop of color so you know like which product you're getting and which mm-hmm. one you're choosing.
Right.
But actually, we were talking to a few buyers of big retailers, and the number one thing they would say to us, they felt excited when they saw the branding, because they were like, oh, you know, if I went to go check out with this at a store, it kind of looks like a perfume bottle, or it looks like something not screaming in your face like sex. So that's what we wanted to be. We wanted to make it more sleek, sophisticated, also a little discreet, but with a little pop of color to make you feel a little good, you know?
Okay, let's talk about, because I just remembered, let's talk about the thinness of these condoms, because like, you might be thinking like, oh, maybe they're thicker, maybe sensation is going to be shitty, but actually
they're not shitty. No, so that was like the second thing I went into developing this condom with, not only like to make it healthier and make it like taking out all the nasty shit, but like, okay, let's be real. Condoms, you still want to have good pleasure with. Like, when you're having sex, you want to focus on the pleasure. So when I developed this, I talked to my manufacturers. I was like, okay, let's try to make it thinner. How can we do that while still keeping the integrity and still passing all the FDA regulations, because that was the ultimate goal. Like, we had to pass the FDA and then we can like present it to the customer. And
thinner than the thinnest, not just thinner than your,
so that's why on our labeling we have super ultra thin, because we can't technically put how much percentage more thinness you get from ours versus like a Trojan or something else.
Why?
Because legally? It's based on claims.
Okay. So right.
The FDA, because you can't say every condom is exactly 35% thinner, mm-hmm. because you know it's all variation, but for the most part, majority of our condoms are thinner than the regular ultra thin, so we can claim it as super ultra thin. So that's what we did, and that allowed us to get through the FDA. So we actually applied the FDA with all these different things, taking out the casein, thinner condom, all that stuff. And we got approved. And I did it all by myself, which was crazy. And I had no idea what I was doing, but somehow figured it out. And now we're at year 6 of this.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
We got the ads done. So now I get to ask Neil the most personal questions, and he'll tell me all of his deepest, darkest secrets, okay? Let's start, because you talk about your Indian parents, right? But you grew up here. Yeah. But still, what was it like? Like, what values or what did they teach you about sexuality? What did you grow up with? Did you have to wait until marriage? Was it like a sacred thing? Like, tell us everything. And how did you rebel from that? Because look at where we're now.
That's a good question. So, yeah, we can definitely dive deep into this. I feel like this is a good platform to do that on, you know?
Hello, you're in bed with me.
Mom and Dad, good luck watching
this. You can stop watching now.
So I guess growing up, my mom's from Malaysia and my dad's from India. So they're from two different, they're both Indian, but two different cultures. So when they met and had a love marriage, which at that time is not as common, when they came to the U.S. and they raised my sisters and I, like, they were definitely more open to the idea of dating, love, like being with who you want to be and stuff like that. So I felt very comfortable growing up. Even I remember 6th and 7th grade, I was basically asking every girl out that I could possibly ask out because
Were you not afraid of rejection? Like, how were you handling that?
No, I was afraid of rejection. It's just that I thought I would fall in love with every girl I met. So that wasn't the case. But I would like write these notes to girls and give them to them in class or like study hall. But I would like ask my sisters and my mom, like, did I write this okay? Like, does it look good and stuff like that?
That's so sweet.
Which is like cringy to think of now, but
no, it's sweet.
We'll leave but it kind of helped like kind of open the gate of like, look, it's not as serious as people make it out to be. But then I would see my friends on the flip side, Indian and non-Indian, like their parents at that age, like 6th, 7th, 8th grade, were like super strict. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a friend in high school where every dance we went to, like homecoming, prom, Sadie Hawkins dance, whatever it was, that's where the girl asked the guy.
Progressive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 2006 was a good year.
I was like, 9.
Oh, really? Shit. I'm old. So then, like, he would have to have the girl come to my house, and he would have to walk over to my house and do the whole corsage thing. And it wouldn't be, like, it would be weird, because I would be like, why can't you just talk to your parents about this? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that big a deal. But, you know, his parents were Muslim, and it was very, like, very, very strict, even more than, like, other Indian families. Mm-hmm. So I saw that as, like, wow, I'm really lucky to have family that's a little more open. Mm-hmm. But that's like from the dating and liking girls or whatever, that side of things. But when it came to like sex, that was like a big taboo in our house. And it wasn't like it was bad, it's just that it was never talked about.
Wait, so when did you find out how sex worked? Like, what age, if your parents didn't talk about
that? That's a good question. I would say at that time, I think the like sex ed in schools were a little bit better in terms of like sharing more information and how to deal with it. Whereas like now I think it's more like more capped at how much they show you and how much like they teach you.
Right. Okay. So they did teach you a little bit at school.
A little bit. Yeah. So like we would see videos here and there, but it was more about like, just don't have sex. Like,
right. What about masturbation? When did you find out that was a thing, and did you do it right the first time?
I mean, definitely did not do it right the first time. I just thought like
me either.
I just thought like getting hard was the
thing. That was it.
And then like that was it. And I was like, oh wow, that happened. And then,
wait, how did you come to even like getting hard? Like, did you talk about your friends with it? Did you watch a porn video? Like, happened?
At that time there wasn't much porn. There was like,
oh my God, you're not that old, Neil.
At that time you had to download it off LimeWire.
Oh right. Uh-huh.
Or you had to
like a video store or some shit.
Yeah, but yeah, the video stores in Dayton, Ohio, where I was from, like, you don't want to go to those. Those are like mad sketchy. But I think it was like maybe at the time I remember the first instance I thought like, ooh, what are they doing, was like during the Titanic scene where first he's drawing her naked, mm-hmm. and my mom like put her hands on my eyes, and I was like, ooh, that looks kind of hot. But then the second thing was like when they're actually having sex in that car and her hand like goes across, I was like, what are they doing in there? So that's when I think my first sort of inclination of like, okay, curiosity is really sparking. And then obviously like the American Pie movies and all that stuff kind of opened my eyes a little bit more.
Right.
But I guess the first time I like knew what insertion was and knew like
but the what about ejaculation, because like if you thought masturbation was getting hard and that was it, then how did you come to realize how to masturbate? Not that you can masturbate like that, but like,
okay, this is a story that no one really knows. I think this is what I was about for. like 10 or something, mm-hmm. maybe around 10 years old, and I remember like it was around Christmas time, I think, and my dad, through his work, would get a lot of these like free gifts and stuff that he would just bring over. And I remember one was like a massager. It was like one of those like
vibrating
vibrating massagers you do on your legs. And then I did it on my leg, but then I started putting it closer to like my crotch. I'm like, ooh, that feels kind of good. And then all of a sudden, I like ejaculated, but I thought I was peeing. I was like, wait, what was that? And so I dropped it and I quickly ran to the bathroom and I realized like, no, this isn't pee. Like, this is something different. I was like, oh, is this the result of getting hard? So then I started like connecting the two together.
Were you alone when you did that?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was alone. I think my parents were like in the other room or something. Yeah. But yeah, that's where I got that first understanding of it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, that's what it feels like. Feels
how sad good. That you had to... Like, we have to all find out, like, for ourselves how it fucking works. And also the amount of people that found out the pleasure of masturbation through vibrating devices that are not toys, like fucking massagers, toothbrushes, and what else? Like, anything. Humping a pillow.
Yeah. Because then at that point, I remember, like, once you start to figure it out, you're like, okay, what are different ways I could do this to get that same sensation? Because... Mm-hmm. Because then you're like, okay, wait, is this the only way to do it?
Yeah, you couldn't just steal the massager and put it in your room.
Yeah, because then before I didn't know that, oh, it's pretty common to use like lotion or lube or something. But then later on, I got that understanding. I thought lube back in the day was only for women. I didn't know, I didn't even know lube was a thing.
So many people still think that. Also, why would Neil now tell Neil at 13 years old about using lotion as lube?
I would tell him that probably not the best idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe switch it up to an actual lube that's meant for down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess also just other things I would bring up to the younger Neil would also just be like very basic, like what does insertion mean? Like where is the hole that you put it in?
How many holes are there?
Yes, or even like the different types of sex. There's not just one way. There's multiple ways.
Endless ways.
I mean... And those are just like the simple things, right? Yeah. The simple things to learn about.
Oh, that's basic.
Yeah. Or even learning like, okay, what does it mean to get hard? Like, is there one way to ejaculate or is there multiple ways? Like, and some people like, I've heard of this thing. I don't know if you heard of it. It's like edging or something. Like you get to the point of almost ejaculating, but you stop.
Mm-hmm. To have like, more powerful orgasms.
Yeah. Some people are into that. Or some people are into just like, some people also get stimulated by not even getting hard, but getting the other person hard. So it's like these different things that you can learn through your sexuality that like, that's never taught. Not even baseline stuff is taught. Like the prevention method of like, oh, don't have sex. I think that's like...
We all know that doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, we're all here, right? Yeah. How the fuck did we get here? Someone was boning someone else.
Statistically, the more sex that you get, the later your first sexual experience is. And like the less unwanted pregnancies there are and so on, like there are only benefits to sex.
Oh, I think the Nordic countries so like Sweden, Finland, Norway,
even Holland, they do it so well.
They have such a great progressive like understanding of sex that like it's not after 11 p.m. you see a condom ad. It's like you could see it in the middle of the day, but it's not about don't have sex. He's like, here's how to have sex safely.
No.
Here's how to prevent an unwanted pregnancy. Yeah. Or here's how to do this.
Danish people have a fucking TV show.
Oh, I saw that.
They just show naked people to show body diversity. And it's not like a dating show. It's not like a game show. It's nothing. It's just like literally showing naked bodies. I don't know what they're doing, but like 6-year-olds can watch that show and it's normal. And that's also sexuality. That's also sex ed, learning that all bodies are different and that it's okay. And nudity is not inherently sexual either. It's just a naked body. We don't have to make it sexual.
Yeah.
So it's just so many things.
Yeah. Like I was talking with one of my partners the other day my business partner. He was asking,
Neil is monogamous, by the way.
Yes, I do have a girlfriend.
It's unusual for this podcast, but Neil's monogamous.
I'm a special one now, I guess. No. But I was talking to one of my business partners the other day, and he was like, well, let's try to brainstorm different ways to market, because, like, what about TV? Because now everyone's marketing online, so maybe there's opportunity in TV. But as I was, like, researching what that entails, like, I can only do an ad past 11 p.m. Like, I'm not allowed to do an ad before that. And then even if I do, I can't say certain language. I'm not allowed to use the word pleasure. Pleasure is a no-go when it comes to sexual wellness products. But yet, if I sell a supplement, I can say, like, oh, you'll be so pleasurable throughout your experience drinking this protein shake. Mm-hmm. But they don't get flagged. Like, how do they know that the customer is going to be pleasured after drinking that protein shake, right? If I say, like, put on this condom, put your dick inside something, you'll feel a pleasurable sensation, I'm not allowed to say that. So it's a little bit unfair on how they, like, restrict what we can say and what we can't say.
Yes. So, right, you discovered masturbation, and then when did you have, like, your first girlfriend or partner, and how did your parents react? Like, were they actively telling you don't have sex, or did you just not talk about it?
My first proper girlfriend, Holly, shout out Holly.
Hi, Holly.
Freshman year, high school. You know, we're still friends.
Aww.
She was a great girl. We dated for only a week, but it felt...
That's not girlfriend. Oh, what the actual fuck?
In ninth grade, back then, it was girlfriend. But what was cool is that, like, even with her being, like, a quick girlfriend, I would say, but...
It's not a girlfriend.
Well, throughout my high school dating, I would say that, like, whoever it was, I would talk to my family about it, and they were actually, like, pretty cool. I remember...
Even if it was just for a week, you would tell them about it?
Yeah. I mean, Jesus. I was excited as hell. I got a girl.
I only told my parents about, like, my long-term boyfriends or partners.
Really?
Yeah. I never told them about the three-month flings or anything.
Well, so then I learned after that. In college, I didn't really tell them much about who I was dating, just because, again, I was in college. I was away from home. So it was kind of easy to keep things separate, especially at that time when parents hear you're dating, or at least my parents would be a little bit more serious about it, be like, you're serious about this person.
My parents don't forget. Like, they'll still ask me about everyone I've told them. They're like, how are they doing? And I'm like, I don't know, Mom. Like, fuck off.
Yeah. It's like, that ended a while ago.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember that
person. I don't
know
if they're alive. Okay, yeah. So what happened with Holly?
That was, like, my first proper, like, kissing experience. That was, like, my first kind of, like, intro into, like, the physical nature of intimacy, not just sex stuff. So, like, that's when I realized, like, oh wow, like, kissing a girl or kissing this type of person that I'm, like, emotionally attracted to, like, enhances my attraction even more for them, right? So I thought it was the best experience in the world. So I literally came home after that football game. We were at a high school football game, we kissed, and then I went home and I told my parents about it. And they're like, and my sister started, like, clowning me just because of how giddy I was that I kissed a girl. And it's a girl that I was actually dating. But that was, like, my first intro to it. And then,
wait, how did your parents react?
My parents just kind of, like, laughed and smiled and, like, thought, like, good for you, Neil. Like, good job. But it was also a little awkward because my parents, they're still, like, you know, first generation Americans here. So they're still a little bit, like, of old school values. So they're happy about hearing about it once, but maybe excessive explanations of whatever I'm doing, maybe they don't need that. So I think sharing with them a couple times, like, you know, the first time I had a kiss, or like when I went on a dance with a girl or something like that, I think it felt them more included. But after that, like during college, like, that's a whole different ball game. So I didn't really include them into those experiences. But I feel like my first initial stuff, I definitely filled them in a little bit.
Okay. And what about now, or when you told them, hey, Mom and Dad, I do not want to study medicine. I want to open up my own condom business.
Yeah. So when I said no to med school, my mom was pretty sad. I mean, she still, I probably get a text or a call every couple of days saying, like, hey, you know, you can still go. There's still an opportunity to go. But my sister became a doctor, so that's fine.
She took the bullet.
Yeah. She did it for all of us.
She took one for the team.
Yeah.
Good girl.
Exactly. So when I decided not to go to med school anymore, I had already started my consulting business and got into biotech. And then during that time, this condom business was kind of just a side fun project. I was like, let's test it out, see how it goes. So the entire thing was bootstrapped from the beginning. So we didn't raise any extra money. We didn't go to venture capital. We didn't do any of that.
I just want to know what your parents thought. Give me the business talk.
Yeah, yeah. So then eventually when we got to the point of it being a real thing, uh-huh, and I could actually like live off of it and make it a business, they were actually pretty happy. They were like, wow.
Like, wow, the fact you're having sex?
Yeah, well, that was a different question. They kind of saw it more as a business than they did initially of like, oh my God, my son's selling his sex stuff. Mm-hmm. But the best is whenever I go back home and I hang around all the uncles and aunties of my parents' friends group, and they ask me like what I do and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when I first started, it was the best. Like, I would talk to the uncles about it, and they would tell me all about their like strip club stories and the stuff they used to get into in like college. And I would go to the aunties, and the aunties would talk about like, that's so good, you're doing something that, you know, you're creating good products, you're advocating for safety and all this stuff. But then I guarantee you, if one of their kids did it, oh, they would be like, oh, I can't tell anyone. I'm not going to tell anyone.
But now
my, yeah. But now my parents like proudly say like, my son owns a sexual wellness business, mm-hmm, and talks about it. So yeah, now they're way more cool with it. Before, I think they're a little more like hush hush.
The growth.
But now since I'm not shy about it, and mm-hmm, even my sisters, when they talk about me, like they're not shy about it. So now they're like, well, he's already all over the internet with this stuff, so who cares?
Yeah, who actually cares? No one gives a fuck. And if they do, they're just not meant to be here. So
bye. Yeah, they just can't hang.
Yeah.
I don't want them as a customer anyway.
You can sit at the table with us.
Yeah.
You cannot come in bed with us.
Exactly, so. Exactly.
Okay, I wanted to quickly mention the lotion thing when you masturbate. It's not because you might get irritated. It's because if you're also having sex, that shit stays with you, and like your pH will be even more fucked up because penis pH is already different than vulva pH. So if you, on top of that, use lotion with has like fragrance and all the shit, and then you go fuck, especially without a condom, that you're definitely going, or most likely going to give that other person something, either BB. If you've gone BB, you might not know that men are the ones that carry the BB bacteria, and they don't get anything from it. Like, they don't get any symptoms. They just give it to you. And then they're like, oh my God, you smell fishy. And it's like, yeah, you gave it to me. So shut the fuck up and just lick my pussy.
Get in there.
Get in there and take it away from me.
Full tongue. Get in there.
Yeah, honestly. So just be mindful of that. I know it might feel good, but just invest in a good quality lube. And it also makes a difference. Like, lotion can irritate you and can even burn you. So just be careful.
Yeah. And lotion is also harder to wash off, mm-hmm, than using like a water-based lube or something. So even if someone has something that you can, when you use water-based lube, at least you can wash things off a little easier. But lotions are essentially thicker and they kind of embed into your skin. So it's hard to really scrub those out, unless you're like scrubbing over multiple showers or, mm-hmm, multiple washes. But so yeah, it's best to just find a good lube. Royal Organic Lube is the best, but
that's the second ad of the episode. Yeah.
But if you wanted to find like a different type of lube, like a silicone based lube, I would say go just Google the best one out there.
Even oil based, because you're just masturbating, you're not using a condom, because as you know, condoms are not compatible with oil-based lube, at least, mm-hmm, latex condoms. So go off, but buy lube, good quality lube, for the sake of you and your relationship. Okay, do you want to get really intimate?
Let's try it out.
Okay, what about like, what are some of your insecurities that you've had to work on, like either penis size, erection problems, ejaculation? Like, walk me through that and how you have work through them, or if you're still doing that.
Yeah, I think the number one thing a lot of boys growing up, and a lot of guys as they get in like college and stuff, it's always like penis size, because like you watch porn and all the guys are giants,
massive,
but then you go on social media or you watch anything in the mainstream and they talk about like, oh yeah, bigger is always better, right? Or like, oh man, that guy had a big dick, he's so sexy. I'm just like, how does that make him sexy? Like, I don't understand. But then now, like, I've seen a lot of these, like, adult porn stars go on podcasts, and they actually talk about, like, we don't like it bigger. Like, we actually like it, like, 5 inches.
It
like
hurts.
4 to 7, like, that good average length. And, like, the average length is, like, 5.7 inches anyway for a guy.
Yeah, so, like, it's, like, 5 inches, yeah.
Yeah, so then, actually, we actually get a lot of customers that come to us and say, like, oh, I need magnums, or I need the biggest one you've got, and all this. But then we'll ask them different questions. Okay, what circumference are you? Which length are you? And then it turns out they actually don't need like an XXL or an XL. They actually just need like the standard condom because it'll fit them. So that was, I guess, my first thing, like growing up, be like, okay, when I'm with a girl, like, am I big enough or am I like gonna satisfy them?
But that's also because growing up, or what we were taught, is that you have to satisfy them through penetration.
Exactly. And
like that, that's enough. So like that's why a lot of penis owners are like, oh my god, am I big enough? Because this is the only thing that I have, this is the only thing that I have to satisfy her with, so my penetration game needs to be on point. So that's where it comes from.
That's what I'm telling you, boys. Oral sex on the girl does wonders. Like, once you start to master that, you can incorporate it into your foreplay. I think foreplay is really underrated in certain instances. And I think by doing that, you can get both people or whoever's involved to the point of like, you don't have to rely on just one part of your game in the bedroom.
No, yeah.
To like
oral,
get it satisfied.
Toys, fingers, a combination of all of them. And if you are fucking, if you are having intercourse and you are about to come and you don't want to come yet, stop, go down on them, and then repeat the process.
Change it up, play around.
Yeah, stop, use a toy on them, and then keep going. Like, you write the script. So yeah, you were insecure about that during college.
Yeah, well, that was like right during like getting into college, because that was at the time like you're meeting people like left and right, everyone's hooking up. Like, I mean, it was like
a
crazy
fuckfest.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. And then I guess the third thing would be like, or the next thing would just be like lasting. Like, that was a big thing for the guys. Like, how long are you gonna last? And then you try to think of different remedies to make you last longer.
Think like, about your grandma dying.
Yeah, like, think about your grandma. Or like, yeah, there was one where it's like, I remember some guy was saying like, oh yeah, while you're having sex, just like pull your balls down, so then it kind of, or like kind of like squeeze your balls, so like you feel, so you think about that pain rather than you think about the pleasure. I was like, then that takes away from the entire experience then. Like, or like pinch yourself, or like think about something different. And I was just like, well, this is so complicated. Like, why does it have to be this complicated? So eventually I just got to the point of like, okay, if I came early, then I would just be honest with that person and just be like,
early too, like, yeah. What is early? And like, if you come, why does everything have to be over? You can do other things. And also, your nerve endings don't disappear. You can still feel pleasure,
yeah,
even when soft. So like, what is coming early anyway? Obviously, sometimes you don't want it to end right then and there. But I agree. Like, a lot of people worry about this. And again, you can just switch it up. So many things, like penetration, it's not the thing that needs to last. It's the entire fucking experience.
Yeah. And I also say, this is kind of an underrated one that I don't think people talk about much. But it's also just like the grooming aspect of, at least for guys, like, how do you look or how do you feel physically to the other person? Like, I've had instances where it's like, if I'm too trim down there, then they're like, oh, it's irritating. Or if it's too spiky, it's irritating.
Yeah.
Or it's like, it also depends on your partner. Like, how do they like it, and how do they feel like comfortable when they're like on you, rubbing against you, and all that stuff. So I think like investing in that communication of asking like, okay, what do you like on me versus how do I like it on you and stuff like that?
Yes. And it's good to take that into consideration. But like, if you want to rock a full bush, your partner cannot be like, oh my God, that's disgusting. Like, fuck off.
Oh, saying disgusting, that's one thing. If you say like, oh, like,
or like, I prefer you to be trimmed or bare. It's like, okay, but I want to rock a full bush. Like,
or here that's we go. Here's a different thing. You can be like, okay, maybe we can find positions that doesn't irritate you. Or
but hair doesn't irritate. Only if it's like spiky. If you shave and it's like 2 days old and it's spiky, that's like, it hurts, just like the stubble when you kiss, yeah, or whatever, or when they go down on you. But like, why do you mean it's irritating?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to communicate with your partner and ask him like, like what their preference is.
But
like,
have you seen that people actually get irritated by hair? Especially if it's clean. Like if it's dirty, that's another thing.
Well, it's the difference on like having hair that person thinks is disgusting and then it just being irritating when you're like trying to be on top but in certain positions. Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying like sometimes grooming can...
Yeah.
Just because in one case for me, like...
Like I've never heard that. Like someone's like, oh my God, that's irritating. Please remove it or let it grow. Like no one's ever said that to me.
Oh, I've had one instance where the girl was like, oh, like... When my pubes were a little longer, they were like, oh, you know, it'd actually feel more comfortable if you'd like trim them down because when I go down on you, it gets like, gets in the way or like, it's just uncomfortable in the or way. Something.
Okay.
I'm like, So for me, it wasn't like, oh, I'm rocking a bush just to have it. It was more of just like, oh, I don't mind. I'll trim it down. Yeah. Like for me, it wasn't a big deal because I wasn't invested in the whole like, oh, I need to be smooth or I need to be trim or I need to have a bush. Whereas like if you're rocking it for your own personal preference, that's one thing. But if you're more than happy to kind of work with your partner, I think that's also important. Mm-hmm. So that way you don't feel like in your head like, oh, I hope I'm not like poking her with my stubble or not like irritating her. Because there was one time I was like shaven, but yet it was that like 5 o'clock shadow kind of thing. And then she got like red like on the side of her leg a little bit. Or in her thigh, and she was like, oh, that was irritating. Have you shaved recently? I was like, oh, it's been a couple days. And she was like, oh, that's probably why. It would have been nice to have it smoother, but now it's just irritating a little bit. So just communicating and having the understanding to make sure they don't feel irritated and you don't feel irritated and all that stuff.
I only get, I'm only giving you shit over this because I have a hard time, even though it's rarely happened, when men are like, I only like it bare. And it's like, why do you want me to look prepubescent? Like, hair is so fucking normal. So that's when I get really pressed. I'm like, fuck off. Like,
but have you been hearing the new trend is the bush is coming back?
Yeah. Well, I like a landing strip. But for Jamaica, I was just there. My waxing lady, she was like, we're not keeping that shit. And she waxed me bare. And I was like, oh my God, okay. So I've been rocking the bare look, which is fine because it was my choice. But like, when people make comments about being bare, it's like, okay, no. I don't know why it bothers me so fucking much. I just hate it. It's like, no, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah. I think it was also just like the old school mentality of like when we were watching.
Now, the hair is gross, basically. Yeah,
probably in the last 10 years of porn, I would say like a lot more of the porn was like people looking like dolphins. Like they were purely clean.
Right.
Even the guys were like 100%. Even their chest hair was like gone. But now I think the trend is shifting of like the more like personalized you make it. So like I've had friends who told me like, oh yeah, you know what's good in their relationship is that they like to do different designs or something for their partner or like something like that. So it makes it a little more fun in the bedroom too. Yeah,
that's cute. I like that.
So that way it also makes you think of them too. It's like, oh, I want to create this for them. Yeah. Or I want to do, you know, I want to trim my chest because I want to make them feel like
Obviously, keeping your partner's preferences in mind is a nice thing to do with everything. Like, that's what a relationship is. So, you obviously have a point.
So now let me ask you, when you go to like parties and stuff, and you have
sex parties.
Yeah, sex parties. And you have like obviously a variety of different styles of people, what they're rocking. Like, how have you seen the people react to like how you like your preferences versus like what their preferences are? Or is that even a thing?
It's not a thing, especially at play parties, because you will see every kind of body type and every kind of body hair, and literally not a thing. I've heard when I do have my landing strip, people are like, oh my God, I actually do prefer some. Because when I do have hair, people feel comfortable enough to be like, oh my God, I love that you have hair, because most people have like nothing.
Yeah.
But no, and like I see everything, and I rather not comment on anyone's hairstyle because like I don't know what their journey is. So, and I don't need, unless it's like unhygienic.
What's like the craziest hairstyle you've seen? Like crazy good or crazy bad? Like what's like?
I think, there's only, I guess, one person that had like the full bush. Like he's never touched it ever. It was like long.
Wow.
It was like black and he's pale. And he is one of the hottest guys I've been with. But like when he took his boxers off, I was like, surprised because, like, I just didn't
expect
think.
It.
I didn't expect it because he is no chest hair. Like, he has no hair elsewhere. And it was, like, the full
Was he, like, a skinny guy? I could, like, picture a really skinny guy.
He was very muscly, but not big muscly, like, skinny muscly.
Yeah,
but very
like, lean.
Strong. Yeah, big arms. Like, he was so fucking hot. And I was, like, wow. Like, I did not expect it. And it's not my favorite, but, like, we had the best time together. Like, it was so good.
So sometimes, like, the thing you least expect can still work out.
I mean, it would have still been amazing without the fucking hair. But
yeah.
I had the best time. Like, no judgment. Like, he rocks on. And it's on brand for him. So go him.
Yeah, I would say, like, in the dating world, especially when I moved to New York from Ohio, like, the whole dating world and what people expect or what the expectations are in terms of, like, hooking up and, like, you know, grooming, not grooming and stuff like that. I feel like people were taking it, like, they take things way too seriously sometimes when they kind of forget about making that connection with that person instead of, like, how's the sex going to be? Or, like, what do their balls look like? Or what kind of dick do they have?
People,
or, like, stuff like that.
People are so used to, like, getting the ick, like, instantly from, like, whatever it is. And with me, it's, like, every day I'm less picky, physically at least. With people, it's, like, okay, so what? Like, I used to have the highest standards and they've been going lower and lower, but in a good way. Like, someone doesn't need to be physically fucking perfect for me to want to spend a night with them or even more than one. And you meet, like, your options open up so much. You're missing out on so many experiences if you just want to have, like, perfect partners. So I love that. I love being able to fuck even more and more and more people every day because I stop being so fucking picky.
Yeah. That's, I think, the
physically,
biggest
thing. Right? Like, if I have to spend time with someone, they need to be, like, nice. I have, like,
That's where you have the checklist.
Extremely picky when it comes to personality and emotional availability, all that shit. The worst. Like, it's insane. But, like, physically, why? Like, it's your body, it's your home, and that's how you look, and that is amazing. I love it. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I think it's for physical attraction, I think it's okay to be into something and not out of something, but I don't think, like you're saying, the icks. I don't think you should turn something into an ick just because it's not your preference.
And just because we're taught, like, what's hot and what's not, like, celebrities. And so you see something that's alternative and you're like, oh, that's not what I was taught. That's ugly. And it's like, why is it ugly? Like, just because it's not in a magazine, like, challenge those beliefs. Because, like, it can be beautiful if you let it be beautiful.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the prime example is, like, when, like, Kim Kardashian started to get a bigger and bigger ass. Mm-hmm. It's like then guys started to realize, oh, am I into bigger asses? And then the girls were like, well, if guys are liking Kim Kardashian's ass, maybe I need a bigger ass. Then it becomes like a whole cycle of not really like what you're into.
It just trends.
Yeah, and it's just trendy and you're not really following what you're actually into or what you're or the actual like physical appearance of that person, but you're focusing on one body part or one specific thing.
Yeah, and now the trend is to like go back to the natural look, which is like in the early 2000s or 90s.
Natural look and baggy pants, that's like the new thing, right?
Yeah. Baggy clothes, which is honestly my favorite era. Like, thank you so much for that, whoever invented it. I love it. I love dressing like Jesse Pinkman.
Well, since we're on that on the baggy clothes, I have another gift for you.
I meant to ask like about that.
I was like purposely waiting for
you
this
were waiting?
Point in the podcast.
I was going to be like, Neil, what the fuck is my sweatshirt?
Yeah, so.
And it's pink?
This is fresh off the presses. Just got here this week.
Are you saying this
it's not
on
pink,
the record?
It's pink, unfortunately. Aww. They ran out of the pink, so I'll have to get you a different one.
It's fine.
But I knew you wanted a bigger one and not so in your face. So I have, you know, just a small little logo on here.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Because, you know, you've...
Neil
been
and
great
I are
us.
Doing we're doing street interviews, hopefully before I leave. So I obviously am gonna wear this, although it's cold as fuck. We'll have to wear layers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cute.
Got you a large, hopefully that will be baggy.
We'll see
enough
if
for
it's
you.
Baggy enough.
Yeah.
I'll be the judge of that. No, I'm kidding. It's perfect. Oh, thank you.
No problem.
I was about to give you shit for that. I'm
I know,
glad
see
I
that
did.
I remembered. That I had in my bag first
I'm
before
glad
the other
I
stuff.
Didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay. What are some things people assume about you that you wish they wouldn't? just because of your job, for example.
Yeah. So I think number one is that, like, oh, I must be this, like, playboy, sex deviant, and this whole, like, bad boy type persona. But, like, no, like, at the end of the day, this is still a business. Like, I need to run it like one. I need to be professional like it is a business and run it that way. But then also what I like is that it is fun. It is a fun business to be in. So I can be a little bit more loose. I can be a little bit more, like, a little more candid and more free in how I operate.
Right. Like, our business relationship is extremely casual, which I appreciate. I fucking hate the formalities or, like, writing emails a certain way. Like, I think I can get away with it because this is my job. But I hate it. And Neil used to be so formal at first. And I was like, no, Neil, that's not how we're going to do things. Come on.
Yeah. And Alexa did accuse me of being not interesting at one point. But I'm here on the podcast to prove her wrong.
Okay, you guys will be the judges of that, okay? Let's see if
put Neil... in the comments if I'm interesting or not.
Yeah, okay, is that what I said?
No, I don't know. I'm just
engaging
kidding.
Enough, but I did give him shit for it. I was like, are you
good enough to be on my pod? I was being a little too, maybe, like, PC or not cussing like I normally... Like, I cuss a lot, actually. Like, my parents hate it. Like,
I cuss.
It's really bad. So, I've been trying to, like, be more polite and not as vocal, but now I'm with her, so I don't give a shit.
Yes, great. Okay, so what are people that you're like a sex, like, yeah, you're so, just a fuck boy?
Yeah, people, and even in college, I got that reputation, unfortunately, because like I'm the type of person that don't really go with the norms. Like, obviously, starting a condom business is not very normal, but I've always been a little bit like, you know, if certain groups are doing this, I'll kind of do that or whatever the case is. So a lot of people I went to college with, like, because I didn't hang out with certain groups of certain people, I would get shit for being like, oh, he's like a fuck boy, he's hanging out with different girls, or he's probably smashing different chicks and all this stuff. I'm like, no, I just like to be friendly with other people, and I can be relatively social. So that was like a perception that people had of me, which was completely untrue.
That's true. Neil is like the least fuck boy ever. I'm like, Neil, do you want to go to a sex party? He's like, no, I'm cooking dinner for my girlfriend in Jersey. And I'm like, that's the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah, I'm a gentleman to my girl.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean cheat. I mean, like, with her or something.
Oh, no. No, and then another thing would probably be like, I don't know. I think, like, I'm not as smart as I make, like, actually be, because that's also another, like, stigma. Wait, that I got before.
People assume you're not as smart?
Yeah. So,
or, like, you're actually not as smart as people think you are. What the fuck are you saying?
Okay, so back in, like, high school and college, I played a lot of sports. So I really kept my work and my studying and stuff to myself.
Okay.
So people didn't think I would, like, study or do work, or, like, I'd always be out at the bars, or I'll be, like, you know, socializing or doing something. Yeah.
But you're a nerd on the inside.
Yeah, and, like, I created this business all by myself. Like, I got through the FDA on my own. So now people are starting to realize that, like, okay, like, I'm not just a, you know, I'm not just a one trick pony of, like, jock I can star. Be social and be out there. But yeah. And I also got some shit from, like, the Indian community, because they also thought that I was just going to be a fuck boy, or like, I'm, you know, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not the conventional Indian kid. So, like, what the hell is he doing?
Right.
And even, like, at certain instances, I would ask friends or people I knew when we first started the business, I really needed reviews on Amazon. And that was like pulling teeth for people. They're like, oh, well, I don't want it on my Amazon cart because I share it with my parents, or like they would say they would do it, but then they don't. And then now I've gotten to position of, we got into 250 retail stores and all this stuff. They're like, oh, Neil's on the map. Now let's start to hit him up and let's be cool with him and
that's
shit like
so
that.
That's so shitty when, like, someone, you know, starting a business and it's like, oh, that's so cringy, or like, look how they're putting themselves online or whatever it is. I never got these messages because, like, I think my friends know better, but maybe behind my back. But, like, it happens to so many people. And then when they,
all the time,
when they do start getting successful, it's like, oh, my God, congratulations.
Yeah.
Can I get some products? Like, or give me,
like, go
tips,
buy
or,
them,
like,
bitch. Yeah, you support me.
Yeah, literally, go fucking
off.
Buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I hate it. It's like, support anyone that is starting anything in your life. Like, even if they don't make it, it takes courage to go out there and fucking even try. So stop being shitty. Like, just support them. Be nice. Or don't say anything. If you have nothing nice to say, it's fine.
Yeah, just keep your mouth shut. Be like, oh, go for your dreams. And that's it. Like,
yeah, that's it.
Doesn't mean you have, like, behind, like, talk all the shit you want, like, whatever.
Write it in your diary, but don't tell anyone,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, keep that shit to yourself. but that was also a big struggle because, like, I saw my friends, they had, like, real corporate jobs. They were doing their 9-to-5. They were getting paid steady paychecks. Mm. And then I'm like, well, fuck, like,
Did I fuck up?
Like, yeah. It's 3 a.m. and I'm still working or doing something. I'm like, fuck, do I want that life or do I want this life? Mm-hmm. But to be honest, this life is pretty fun. Like, I get to be on podcasts like this.
I wouldn't trade it for the fucking world.
Yeah, I get to do cool things. And again, that's like when you start to get on the map of, like, we were in Cosmo, Men's Health, all this stuff. That's when you start getting the text messages or, like, mm-hmm. hey, congrats on being emoji on the reactions on stories. They'll give you, like, a heart. Be like, oh, my God, congrats. I knew you could do it. It's like, fuck off.
It's like literally your bully from high school. And you're like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Like, go away.
I have receipts.
I did a little outfit change for our last segment. It is baggy enough for anyone that wanted to know. I approve.
Perfect.
Okay, Neil, before we finish, I wanted to ask you, what would you tell people that have a hard time staying erect when they put a condom on? Do you have any tips?
That's a really good question. I would say number one, if it's like right before you're putting a condom on, I would say definitely, like I said before, foreplay is underrated. Like, try to either stimulate yourself or with your partner and then do it like in the transition of putting a condom on. So make putting a condom on more of like part of the foreplay instead of like, hey, run to the drawer, grab a condom and try to put it on yourself. Because even that turn to the drawer to grab it can get you limp really quick. So I would say that would be like the first thing. Second thing, if you like have it on and you start going limp, maybe utilizing the condom with oral sex too, because condoms, the way we've designed
them. Or when you masturbate
so you can practice and, you know, you can stay harder longer while you're stimulating or while you're being stimulated. And then I would also use it during oral sex. And actually this will be an exclusive to this podcast. We're actually relaunching our strawberry condoms probably in the new year, like right around the new year. So keep an eye out for that. But condoms definitely can be used for oral sex too. I think that's important.
If you worry a lot about STIs, you can get them through oral. I, for example, personally, I take the risk of not using protection with oral because I don't want to. I don't like it. So I assume that risk, but I know that it is a risk. If you don't know, now you know. You can transmit STIs through oral. You can get throat chlamydia or gonorrhea. You can get HPV, herpes, all the things, right? Flavored condoms are meant for oral. Do not use them for intercourse, please. And because of the fragrance, because of everything, it can be irritating. So for oral, if you are worried about that, definitely. And if you want to practice too, how to stay hard with a condom on, that's also a great tip. And when you masturbate too, because it mostly happens because you're masturbating too much and you obviously don't masturbate with a condom. So then when you do put that on and have different sensations, your body's like, this is not how we usually do it. So I'm going to go soft.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely, like, even if you're using a regular condom, like, and then you go limp, you can still use that for oral and then reuse that for, or then just go straight into penetration because it doesn't have like the flavoring and stuff on it. So that can help you get re-hard again. And I think just practicing these different techniques or just like the transitioning of not putting a condom on to putting it on. I think those things over time, you'll start to realize what your body does, how your body reacts.
Last three questions that I ask everyone. What is something you wish more people knew about you?
More people knew about me. One thing would be I love cooking and I love food. So I love being in the kitchen, chefing it up, doing that whole thing. I try not to buy food out that much because I really like to like have fun in the kitchen. So I guess that's something when people see me, they're not like, oh, I can see you like chefing the kitchen. But now, like, my girlfriend and my family, they're like, oh, maybe you should get on like Chopped Amateur or something like that. So that's like one thing that people wouldn't assume. And then I guess from back in the day, like, people didn't think I was that smart or something. I was like, all right.
Okay, well. Neil is smart, everyone. Can you all just go tell him that he's so smart?
Please, please. I need positive
validation, please. Okay, what is something you wish people did more? Besides foreplay, oral.
I think, now are we talking about sex stuff or is it just in general?
In general, or sex, whatever you want.
I think, like you said, people stop being so picky. I think nowadays people, like with social media, the whole ick trend that was going around and all that stuff, like, bro, just like sit down one day, think in your head, what do you like, what do you not like, and just go for it. Like,
yeah, why does it have you, to be? Not what you were told your friends, yeah. Like, you know, you, fucking you.
Oh my God, if I did...
And like, that evolves over time too, like, whatever you liked 2 years ago, it doesn't have to be what you like now, so like, just reconsider that all the time.
Yeah, like, man, now thinking about me and all my friends, like, maybe back in, like, grade school, we had all the same interests and the same things, mm-hmm. but now we're all completely different people and we all like different things, so feel free to explore and don't be too picky, because something that you didn't think you would like, you may like a lot, yeah. So that's great. Probably the main thing.
Okay, lastly, what is something you wish people did less?
That's a good question. Wow, these are so simple, but also so hard at the same time.
I have to think about them. I love them so much.
Do less. Oh, this is... Okay, I got it. It's kind of like a broad one, but I would say care less about what people think. I've also been...
We're all guilty of this, but
guilty
we can
of
do
it
more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like there's been so many times where you pop open social media, like, wow, that person had the best life ever, then, you know, you talk to them the next month and they're like, wow, this last month was the worst. I'm just like, well, it didn't seem like that on social media. So I guess just kind of like do less of social media, that way you'll care less of what people think. That's what I would say.
Okay, love. Neil, are you ready? Okay, no, wait, how can people find you?
So you can find all of our stuff at royalintimacy.com, or if you want your URL to be clean, you can search alwaysberoyal.com. Yeah, we're on all platforms. We have our website. We have we're on Amazon and Walmart.com. You can also find us in select stores around the country, mainly like East and West Coast, at like various Adam and Eve's or Love Honey's and stuff like that. So we'll be coming in more stores soon. So
amazing.
Stay tuned.
Thank you so much, oh, Neil.
Instagram, RoyalXIntimacy, and on TikTok, just at RoyalIntimacy.
They'll be tagged in the description. Thank you so much, Neil.
Thanks, Alexa. This is great.
You're welcome. Are you ready to turn off the lights?
Let's do it.